At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Check it out now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Guessing lines for week number 3, and of course, in the process, a look back at another insane week of the National Football League. You thought week 1 was great. Oh, that was adorable compared to yesterday. Of course, Kelly Bidlin is here. And, of course, the star of Guessing Lines, which we do every Monday morning during the NFL season. The man who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, Chrissy Andrews. Sir.
What's up?
What you got there? What's your shirt today? Spark?
I'm going to see if anybody knows who that is.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to see if anybody... Tweet the show if you know whose insignia this is, whose logo.
Whose logo. Okay. I'm assuming it's a college. That's the only hint
that
we have.
We can go that far, yeah.
Okay. So let me just start by saying this, and I'll bring in Kelly for this. Kelly, I feel like all of these years of NFL games where bounces going against me and just pure NFL hell on Sundays, I feel like it's all coming back to me in 2 weeks.
I'm happy for you.
But what I mean to say by that is this. I wasn't dumb then, and I'm not smart now.
Yeah.
It's just the NFL, and it's all Plinko. It's all Plinko. You're a Raiders CLV. How's that going for you?
Oh, yeah. Cashed it in at the store. Got a free T-shirt. You know,
yeah, saw that.
Went home with that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Chrissy, your day, I would imagine, was made by that Raiders-Cardinals game.
Oh, that was huge. Huge. We had a couple day makers. That was probably the biggest day maker, though.
What were the other ones?
Oh, man. I got to get my sheet out here. The Ravens,
yeah.
The Browns,
so the big ones.
I named two losers.
Yeah.
So it's actually the Dolphins and the Jets. Yeah. I would say those were two big ones. Those were the only good ones in the morning. We didn't have a great morning. It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't great. But then in the afternoon, we actually needed the 49ers. Needed the Cowboys to win outright would have been nice, and of course we got that.
Oh, I'm sorry that didn't work out. Yeah.
Yeah. Broncos winning and not covering was actually very good for
Cowboys
us.
Cowboys winning outright did help you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Which I'm sorry, did I say that wrong?
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, yeah, got you. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So it did work out for you. Yeah.
I know.
That's all right.
I'm still on my first cup of coffee.
I'm sorry.
Relax.
All right. Well, let's get into the games because there's so much to get into with three just insane comebacks, which we'll get into. Oh, yeah. Forgot about this. It's your intro. Guessing Lines with Chrissy Andrews. Oh, yeah. Your old neighborhood theater font there. Kelly, what do we have first Thursday night?
first, Thursday night football, Steelers at the Browns.
Now, here's the deal again. For those who are new to this show, this is a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk back in the day with Roxy Roxborough. Again, the process is I don't know the spreads. I've been in a cocoon. I guess what they are. Sometimes I will be close. Sometimes I will be wildly wrong. But within this process, we hope that there's something to learn. And so far, weeks one and two, oh boy, have the instincts been spot on. Who was the game? What's the game Thursday?
Steelers at the Browns.
Oh, God, when am I going to make that number? Steelers lose to the Patriots yesterday. Mitch Trubisky, 21 of 33 in defeat, 168 in terms of his passing yards, one touchdown, one pick, sacked three times. The Steelers only had 243 total yards of offense. Miles Jack did have 13 tackles on defense. That's nice. But the key sequence in this game, if I may, the Patriots were up 10-6, and Mac Jones throws what looks like a surefire interception, dropped by Cameron Sutton. And then the ensuing punt, because that was a third down, Gunnar Olszewski muffs it. And it leads to a goal-to-go situation for New England. Three plays later, it's 17-6. By the way, that sequence, and then the last touchdown of the first half, where Nelson Agholor just outfought the coverage for the catch. The Steelers could have had this, but those the big moments just went against them. So tip of the cap to the Patriots. And then there's the Browns. Jacoby Brissett, 22 of 27 for 229 in defeat. One touchdown, one pick, sack once. Nick Chubb, 17 for 87 and three touchdowns. The Browns had 184 rushing yards against the Jets. Oh, my goodness. Amari Cooper, 9 catches for 101 and a touchdown. But as you know, this was historical. With 209 left in the game, the Browns are up 24-17. It's also historic in addition to being historical. Up 24-17, pardon me, with 209 left. The Jets have one timeout left. Kareem Hunt runs out of bounds. Stops the clock with 202. Then with 202 left, Chubb takes it to the house, 30-17, and York misses the PAT. All either player had to do was stay in bounds. Didn't happen. Hunt goes out of bounds, tried to stay in bounds. Chubb took it to the house, didn't have to. Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff did not sort of prep the team for that. Cade York misses the PAT. What could possibly go wrong with them up 13 with 155 left? I'll tell you what could go wrong. Flacco to Conklin for 9, and then with 132 left, Flacco to a wide-open Corey Davis for 66 and a touchdown, 30-24. No defender was in the screen when Corey Davis caught that ball. Still got to recover an onside kick. Onside kicks only worked 16% of the time roughly last year. Of course the Jets' Justin Hardy recovers. 120 left, no timeouts, down 6, 9 plays, 53 yards, 4 first downs, capped by a Flacco to Garrett Wilson, 15-yard touchdown, after which Flacco showed more emotion than I've ever seen him from his entire career to date, including a Super Bowl title with Baltimore. Jets lead after the extra point, 31-30, 22 seconds left for the Browns after the Jets don't mortar kick. Second play from scrimmage, Brissett picked by Ashton Davis. Ball game in one of the more unbelievable finishes in the history of the National Football League. In fact, teams that have been down 13-plus in the final 2 minutes, 2,229 straight losses. You may recall the 2001 game between the Bears and the Browns is the last one, or maybe not. I don't know what to make this game. Pitt at Cleveland? I don't think you can make it Cleveland 3. I think, and it's not a pick. I split it. I say Cleveland minus 1.5.
Oh my gosh. Already we're in guessing lines bingo. I like your number better. It's 3.5.
Whoa.
My power ratings come to 2.5. I know Pittsburgh lost. They offensively certainly looked horrible. Defense still played great.
Yes.
The one catch. What was it, the end of the first half? That was an unbelievable catch for the touchdown, you know, for New England.
Yes.
If you remember that. Then they had the short field. Olszewski, you know, a Pro Bowl returner, fumbles the punt. Anyway, I thought 2.5, I thought was, you know, I think a good number. But it's 3.5 everywhere. You know, I guess I'm going to open 3.5 just because we do that little dance with the three that can get us into a lot of trouble. But if I see this trending lower in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to go lower with it. And let's Cleveland, they still have a way of blowing games. And by the way, Jacoby Brissett, I thought, played very well. He really did. Not his fault at all.
getting 3.5, man. I'll take that Pittsburgh defense against Brissett. That's too high. By the way, how do you like our new graphics? You like your face right there, Chrissy? You look like you're a Bond villain.
Really?
With the line right here. Oh, we'll throw it up there right there. All right. There's the guess. You're putting it up at 3.5, though.
I'm going to put up 3.5 for now. If I see it trending lower, like I said, everybody likes to play that 3.5 game with us because we do everything at 11-10. If I see this trending lower in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to 3.
Once again, Adam Chernoff with a tweet about that. Again, all Hunt had to do was go out of bounds. Yeah. All Chubb had to do was go out of bounds. And you say to yourself, well, yeah, but do you really coach that in those situations? You have to. You have to just be aware of every possibility. Chernoff saying if Hunt goes down to either of his runs, I would certainly say the second
one. I see New England staying in bounds when they're supposed to.
We've seen him many times before. Or Bryant Westbrook famously, right? If Hunt goes down or Chubb slides, the Browns kneel out the game and win by 7, actually. Instead, they score and now headed to 1-1 on the season because of it. Loss is entirely on Cleveland and their coaching staff. What's first on Sunday morning, Kelly? What do we got? Already a discrepancy in the Thursday night game.
First up Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, Texans at the Bears.
Texans?
I got a whole different.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
I got a different rotation. We'll go by your rotation.
We'll go by this rotation. Texans fall to 0-1-1. They lose to the Broncos. Lord knows the Broncos gave them every chance to win. And Chicago falls to 0-2 last night, in case you missed it. Houston in their loss to the Broncos in a stinker of a game. Davis Mills, 19 of 38 for 177. No touchdowns, no picks, sacked 3 times. The Texans only managed 15 first downs and 234 total yards. They were 2 of 13 on third downs, 1 of 3 on fourth. They had 8 penalties for 94 yards. They had a 4th and inches at one point at the Denver 14. It was a 6-6 game, 10:27 left in the third quarter. They went for it and converted, ended up settling for a field goal anyway. But it wasn't like Houston wasn't trying. They were taking their chances. Still couldn't get it done. They lose 16-9. Then Chicago. Last night, Justin Fields, after completing 8 forward passes in week 1, he completes 7 last night. 7 of 11 for 70 yards. No touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 3 times, 8 for 20 on the ground for a touchdown. David Montgomery was a beast out of the backfield, though, 15 for 122. The Bears only had 11 first downs in their defeat against the Packers last night. They were 1 of 7 on third down. They were 0 for 1 on fourth. They only had 228 total yards, only 48 passing when you put it all in the wash. They were out time of possession, if you will, 37-15 to 22-45. But they can be summed up by this. They trailed 24-7 at the half. Their first drive of the game in the first half, they had 7 plays, 71 yards, and 7 points. The last 10 plays of the first half, they only had 13 total yards and 0 points. But down 24-10 after a tremendous drive where the Bears were gashing the pack D, 4th and goal at the doorstep, 8:13 left, chance to get back in the game to cut it to 1 score. They go in a shotgun, and Fields gets stopped short. We still doing that?
Just sneak the ball.
Just sneak it. He might have scored, by the way, but it didn't hold up on replay. I made it a pick 'em. I don't know what to make this game. Houston at the Bears, is that lazy? Pick 'em.
I made it one. Boy, 2 already. I like your number better than what's. I made it 1. I made the Bears 1. It's 2.5, and I even see like a 3 even money, and most of the 2.5s have juice on the favorite. I made it 1. You mentioned field stats. I mean, they're horrible. They're atrocious. And okay, we can make a little excuse week 1 because of the weather. No excuses yesterday. This is not a very good team. Houston plays hard for Lovie Smith. They're not that good, but they play hard. I think I do like your number better. I made it 1. You made a pick. I'm going to open 2.5 just because I see it going higher.
Justin Fields has completed 15 passes in 2 weeks. We'll come back. It's Guessing Lines on a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. This episode is brought to you by Yes on Prop 27 and DraftKings. Half the country already allows online sports betting for adults 21 and older. It's time to let California fans in on the action. There's no good reason your friends in New York, Chicago, Phoenix, Portland, and Boston can bet online, while Californians are still forced to deal with shady bookies. Prop 27 ensures California finally catches up. So vote yes on Prop 27. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin. It's Guessing Lines. For week number 3 in the National Football League, and just unbelievable. The NFL is the best anti-drug campaign there ever could be. Like, why do you don't ever? Why? What's the point of taking drugs? Just bet on the NFL.
Oh, you just need one snort of Jameis Winston, and that'll fire you up for a couple hours.
Or that. It's just unbelievable. Between, and we'll get to them all, but between the Browns, Jets, the Dolphins, Ravens, and of course the Raiders, Cardinals. What a day in the National Football League. And boy, oh boy, are we happy that Dr. Bob ended up talking us off the Jets and the Browns game. Not that the Browns shouldn't have won it, but and covered in the process. But good Lord. What a fortuitous.
Great point. I forgot both of you and I were kind of really considering that one on Friday.
Fortuitous bounce, as Dan Dierdorf used to call it. All right, what's next?
1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, Raiders at the Titans.
All right, well, let's just get into it with the Raiders. The Raiders somehow lose to the Cardinals. Derek Carr in defeat, 25 of 39 for 252, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Speaking of how Justin Fields only completed 7 passes in the Bears game, he only threw 11 forward passes. Well, Devontae Adams only had 7 targets and only caught 2 balls for the Raiders. 2 for 12. That can't be. Raiders, of course, as is their history, 10 penalties for 68 yards. The Raiders led 20 to nothing at the half, famously. 20 to nothing at the half. The Cardinals could do nothing. And then up 20 to 7, late third quarter, the Raiders end up going up 23 to 7 because then there's a PI on a deep ball by Carr to Mac Hollins. Apparently, we don't call uncatchable anymore. No human being could have come close to catching that ball. Still a PI, 23 to 7. And you're like, okay, it's the fourth quarter. It's 23 to 7. This one's over. Raiders going to win this. Oh, sure they are. So up 23 to 7, the Raiders stop Arizona on a 4th-and-1 at the Raiders 11 with 12:31 left. Again, you're like, the Raiders got this. But then a 3-and-out for the Raiders. Arizona matriculates the ball down the field. They convert a 4th-and-4 at the Raiders 25 with 8:41 left on an unbelievable catch at the doorstep by Marquise Hollywood Brown. It was incredible. Incredible. Then after a 1-yard touchdown run by Darrell Williams, Kyler Murray with a nearly 21-second 2-point conversion in which he ran the ball an estimated 84.8 yards. That sounds like more than an estimate. Sounds pretty exact. 23 to 15. Then after a Raiders punt, all of a sudden the Raiders offense couldn't do anything. Arizona starts down 8 points, 1st and 10 at their own 27 with 4:43 left. Arizona then goes on a 17-play game-tying drive that features a 4th-and-1 conversion on a short Murray scamper to the right at the Raiders 43 with 2:28 left, and then a 4th-and-4 at the 6 with 20 seconds left on a defensive holding call. Ooh, do you think that was a defensive hold? And then ultimately a 1st-and-goal at the 3 that the Cardinals got after 3 incomplete passes, and then on 4th-and-goal, a Kyler scramble to the left. Then they take a delay penalty because they still need the 2-point conversion. They take a delay. Oh, my goodness, it's unforgivable. And they still get it on a Murray to A.J. Green pass and catch. Pinpoint pass up the middle from Murray. And A.J. Green finally hangs on to one. We go to OT improbably. Cards get the ball. They fail to convert a 4th-and-1 at the Raiders 37 with 5:30 left. Raiders take over. 40 minutes of real time. At this point, it had gone by since the Raiders offense had been on the field. And on the Raiders' 3rd play, Renfrow, tackled by Jalen Thompson, fumble. Foster Moreau recovers, though. What a play by Moreau. But the Raiders' relief was short-lived. 2 plays later, Renfrow again, tackled by Isaiah Simmons, fumble. This time, Byron Murphy Jr. to the house, 59 yards, touchdown, ball game, even though Murphy insists on flicking the ball up in the air a hair after he crossed the goal line. 29-23 Arizona, unbelievable. And all of those Raiders bettors in despair.
When it was 23-15, somebody finally in my office says, this game could get close. And I had, written it off. I had other games I was watching. I was watching the Denver game. I was watching the Ram game. I was watching the Cowboy game. Raiders wasn't even paying attention. All of a sudden, it's by 8. I said, okay, we have a prayer here, the prayers were answered. By the way, that delay of game penalty, I talked to one Raider fan who thought that helped the Cardinals delay a game penalty on the 2-point conversion
because it forced them to pass.
Yeah, it forced them to pass. Thought that was that was better. I'm not sure about that, but that's what they thought.
Tennessee, of course, has not played. Tennessee part of the doubleheader tonight. Tennessee's at Buffalo, and then right around halftime, people should know that about the doubleheader tonight. These games aren't stacked on top. They overlap.
Yeah.
So it's Bills Titans followed by the Vikings and the Eagles about an hour and a half later tonight. So we haven't seen the Titans play their 2nd game. They're obviously 0-1 after losing to the Giants last week. I don't know what to make this line, a hypothetical Raiders-Titans line, sight unseen. It's close to a pick'em for me, though. I said pick'em.
Yeah, my power ratings come to the Raiders, too. One is what I see right now. Raiders one.
Okay.
You know, I'll open at one. I don't know what we're going to see tonight out of the Titans. I think kind of like Buffalo a little bit tonight. I think Buffalo might wax them pretty good.
Kelly, you have a play on either game tonight?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Minnesota for the contest is one for me.
Yeah, so I'm going to open one just sight unseen. I don't want to mess with this
one
too
in
much.
Favor of the
Raiders.
Of the Raiders. Those are three dicey lines to start the show here. What's next, Kelly?
1 o'clock Eastern time, Chiefs at the Colts.
All right, Chiefs on extra rest here. They played the Thursday night game against the Chargers. You may remember Mahomes, 24 of 35 for 235. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. And then there's Indianapolis. Is there a team I had pegged more wrong this offseason?
You and everybody else. I got flooded on them to win the division. I have a lot of Super Bowl money on the Colts, et cetera, et cetera.
In an offseason where so far through 2 weeks I have pegged most correctly, that is clearly the one I have the worst on.
I remember taking those division bets and thinking, we're giving away money on this.
Yeah. Thing. Well, they're 0-1-1 now.
Both division games, too, by the way.
Both division games. Yeah, they tie with the Texans last week. By the way, the dregs, supposedly, of that division, right? They tie with the Texans last week when Lovie Smith played to tie. And yesterday they get beat by the Jaguars. Now maybe you thought Indianapolis wouldn't cover. Maybe you thought Indianapolis wouldn't win. But did you think they were going to get beat 24-0? Matt Ryan, 16 of 30 for 195, no touchdowns, five sacks. And we talked about how Devontae Adams only got 7 targets, 2 catches for 12 yards for the Raiders. Jonathan Taylor had 9 carries for 54 yards. What are we doing? Jonathan Taylor, 9 carries for 54 yards. The Colts could only muster 9 first downs in this game. They were 2 of 10 on third down. They were 0 for 2 on fourth. And they only got 218 total yards, only 54 of which were on the ground. Of course, the main statistic, -3 in turnovers. That's all you really need to know. Colts had 3, Jacksonville had nothing. And they were out time of possession, if you will, by Jacksonville, 38-15 to 21-45. Kansas City at Indianapolis, 2 weeks into the season. Kansas City's got to be a huge... I said Kansas City -6.
Well, I like my number better.
Oh.
It's 7. I make it 7. My power ratings come to 7. It's 6.5, so it's right in between the two of us. But I'm going to open 7 here. If you want to come in and take it, there's the counter right over there.
It's
come on
right
in and
there.
Take it. I'm going to open the game 7. You mentioned a couple things. First of all, Matt Ryan had the worst QBR of the day, 6.3, which is abysmally bad. And I expected him to be much, much better. Trevor Lawrence, we might get into this a little later with Jacksonville. He was pressured on 10% of his throws. You know how bad that is?
That's amazing.
10% of his throws was pressured.
Colts did have key injuries.
Absolutely.
For that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a horrible, horrible performance. I follow a couple writers out of Indianapolis, and they said, you know, if Ursay came in and fired everybody today, they could completely understand it. They look terrible, but I'm going to open 7. It's 6.5 is the predominant number. 6.5 is the only number, but I'm going to open 7. If you want to come in and take it, it'll be on my board.
I should say one other thing. I got the Colts wrong so far through 2 weeks. It's only 2 weeks, but got that wrong. And you know what else? This supposed gauntlet that the Chiefs are supposed to go through the first 7 weeks of the season. So far, easy peasy.
Yeah, so far. No, they had a tough game Thursday night.
They did.
Yeah.
But there's 6. I mean, you just go 7. I had them 6. You said you put them up.
I'm putting them up 7.
7-point road favorites at Indy. How far have we come in 2 weeks that that's the case?
The odds-on favorite to win the division. And like I said, big money on them to win the Super Bowl in the preseason.
Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Houston, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
What record wins the AFC South?
I'm thinking 9-8. I mean, I'd sign up for 9-8 right now if I was any one of those teams and you're in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if we get there now.
I don't know either.
All right. Interesting numbers. Thus far, many more to come. Guessing lines on a numbers game at VSiN. Week 3, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosted guests, 24/7 video, season prep that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up for our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin in the house here on a Monday morning for week number three. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And people were guessing about your shirt, Chrissy.
Yeah.
Hump Day Hockey. Is that the Rock he's repping? And he's not talking about Dwayne Johnson either.
No.
That is the Rock you're ripping.
Yeah, a couple people tweeted me too. Slippery Rock.
Yeah, Scott Clary. Slippery Rock University in capitals. let's see. This is also, Bill Hooker. Slippery Rock. Everybody got it. 3 for 3. This is from...
Wait a second. Not everybody.
Oh, somebody.
Our good friend Chris Felica got it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Swarthmore, he said.
He got
Swarthmore. Sorry, Felica. Sorry, Bear.
Yeah. Did he say Swarthmore? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
This is Nash said, a little hard to see the logo, but is that Stetson? No.
No.
Okay. This is from EI, is this EI77? Yeah, I'm BC27. Who was the guest you had that moved the Wyoming line 3 points, then winning outright as 17-point dogs was easily the highlight of my betting week. When can he come back on to do the exercise again? It's Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. Anytime he wants.
Anytime. That line moved back, too. I don't know if you caught that.
It did, to 16 and a half.
That was a good game for us. Yeah. You know, we had a lot of money on the favorite.
Outright. Patrick at Rather Be in Vegas. The guessing lines graphic font is an homage to the old Stardust font. No? Yes, that's exactly what
it is. That's what it is.
When we put it in there. Yes. There is thought behind it. Jack Hannon, you didn't tell us who the favorite is in the Bear game.
Didn't I? Bears 2.5.
Bears 2.5. Okay. Yeah, I think you did. Elvis Toast Patterson. And he was toast. You could take the Steelers at 3.5 points with the defense, but that offense won't do you any favors. Well, he's right about that. Tommy Rowe. Gil, I'm loving that Jaguars win total over 5.5 now. I don't think any team in the AFC South will be able to beat them. That's 6 wins there. that is aggressive, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, Kelly, what's next?
They look like world beaters right now. I'm with them. 1 o'clock Eastern time. Bills at the Dolphins.
Jaguars should be 2-0. Should have beaten Washington. Buffalo plays tonight. Again, 10-point favorites against Tennessee, the first of the doubleheader tonight. That one is at, what time is that game at, Kelly? 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern? 4:15. Let's say, 4:15 Pacific, 7:15 Eastern for the Titans at the Bills tonight. And then there's Miami, the 2-0 Dolphins, who trailed 28-7 and then 35-14 in the fourth quarter to Baltimore. 35-14. No team had come back from a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter to win since 2010. In fact, teams had lost 755 straight in that situation. It's not quite the...
How many?
755 straight.
How many years does that go back?
Just to 2010.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's 755 situations of teams being down 21. By the way, we said earlier, remember, with the teams down 13-plus in the final 2 minutes, talking about the Jets, 2,229 straight losses in that situation. What happened yesterday?
It was unbelievable.
It's just off the charts what's happening. And I'll tell you this, I still get back to my point about preseason. The fact that it went from 4 games to 3 games is having more of a wacky effect on all of this than anything.
Yes, it is.
Because it's already hard to handicap the NFL and to beat it ATS pre-flop. But now when you don't know which teams, like even some teams didn't even play guys, of course you're going to have these random outcomes. I mean, when you look at it that way. So anyway, Miami scores from 35 to 14. They score to make it 35-21 with 12:18 left. Okay, no big deal. He's still down 14. On the ensuing drive, Baltimore fails to convert a 4th-and-1 at the Miami 40 with 9:16 left. Lamar Jackson runs right into the line. 5 plays later, 3rd-and-10, 2 at a Tyreek for 48 yards. It looked like Marcus Peters just stopped trying to me. Did you catch that? 35-28. Marcus Peters was like, I guess you're going to catch it. 3 and out for Baltimore. Of course it is right after that. 3rd play of the ensuing Miami drive. 5:27 left. 2 to Tyreek for 60. 35-35. Do the Ravens have any safeties? Like, what's happening? 6th play, Ravens drive. 2:23 left. Justin Tucker from 51. Good, because of course it is. It's Justin Tucker. 38-35 Baltimore. And then the next Dolphins drive, the ensuing Dolphins drive that starts at their own 32 with 2:12 left, a drive that features 2 more Tyreek catches. 19 seconds left, 2nd and goal, the Baltimore 7. Tua to Waddle, touchdown, 42-38. Dolphins win it. Dolphins 7 of 11 on 3rd downs, 2 of 2 on 4th, 547 total yards. By the way, the Ravens had 473. 233 total yards for the Dolphins in the 4th quarter alone. 233. They outscored the Ravens 28-3 in the 4th quarter, and they were -2 in turnovers for the game, were the Dolphins. Tua, 36 of 50 for 469. 6 touchdowns. Count them, 6. 2 picks, 1 sacked. Tyreek, 11 for 190, 2 touchdowns. Waddle, 11 for 171 and 2 touchdowns. A cheetah and a penguin. Mike McDaniel, first Miami head coach to go 2-0 since Jimmy Johnson. Bills sight unseen tonight, but the Bills still have to be favorites. I'll say Bills -4 at Miami.
My power ratings come to 4.5. I see it 4.5 and 5, but mostly 4.5 out there. So I think 4.5 is a good number. That's what I'm going to open. I want to tell you something. This Miami team, I think, is pretty legit. And I look back now, and I thought Miami made a huge mistake when they fired David Flores. I still maybe think they did. But I think Flores, like, for whatever reason, did not like Tua.
Brian Flores.
Yeah. He did not like Tua. But remember, we were tanking for Tua and the whole thing, you know. And, I mean, listen, having Tyreek Hill, it doesn't hurt.
It does not hurt.
Let me tell you.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know if you caught this, said I thought it was the best sort of description of Tua last week. Ryan Fitzpatrick was like, here's the thing. He doesn't have a particularly strong arm. He's not particularly fast. He doesn't have particularly good scramble ability to get out of trouble. So a guy,
and he's not that big either.
He's not that big. So a guy with all of those, you know, sort of demerits, if you will, he's got to be elite when it comes to accuracy. And he said Tua is actually very, 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 he was 3 varies, very good with accuracy. I would even argue elite, because if you look at the advanced stats, his receivers up to this year have had the smallest separation from defenders of any receivers. So, like, that's his strength. Now, it does leave a very small margin of error, right? Because if you're not that, then what are you? But you got to give him that much.
I think they made a lot of good roster moves in the offseason. I think this Miami team's legit. Of course, they're playing the best team in football. So I think 4.5 is a good number. But look out for Miami. I've moved them way up in my power. Before the season, I would have had Buffalo 7 probably in this game.
What's your number now?
4.5.
Four and a half.
That's what my power ratings come to, and that's what I see pretty much everywhere.
Can we show that tweet now that we've gotten through all the 3 big comebacks? I mean, we'll talk more about it, but this sort of puts it all in context. This is from Stats by Stats. Today in the NFL, talking about yesterday. Dolphins trailed by 21 in the 4th, rallied to win. The Jets trailed by 13 in the 4th, in the last 2 minutes, I should say, rallied to win. Cardinals trailed by 16 in the 4th, rallied to win. It's only the 2nd time ever that 3 NFL teams overcame a 13-plus point 4th-quarter deficit to win on the same day. You may recall the great day, October 4th, 1992, is the other.
I thought we were going back to like Big Daddy Lipscomb days or something like that.
Big Daddy Lipscomb. What's next, Kelly?
1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday, Lions at the Vikings.
All right, Vikings play tonight. They are short dogs against the Eagles in the second of the doubleheader tonight. The Lions get to 1-1. They beat the Commanders. Goff, 20 of 34, 256, four touchdowns, no picks, sacked three times. Amon St. Brown getting it done, star of Hard Knocks, 9 catches for 116, 2 touchdowns. Also carried 2 times for 68 yards. Amon St. Brown, 8 straight games with 8-plus catches. The only other 2 receivers in NFL history to do that, Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas. By the way, St. Brown's doing it at the age of 22. Those guys were 26 years old when they did it. DeAndre Swift, 5 for 56, 2 catches for 31 and a touchdown. The Lions had 191 rushing yards. By the way, they were up 3-0. They had a 4th-and-goal at the Washington 3 with 4:07 left in the first quarter. They went for it and failed. But a strip sack safety got it to 5-0, and then a great return on a free kick. Next thing you knew, it was 12-0, and they were on their way. Aiden Hutchinson, 3 sacks in the first half with 5:55 left in the second quarter. The Lions led 22-0 and had at that point out first down Washington 11-0 and had outgained them 244-31. Just absolutely dominated them. And by the way, when I was a kid, Washington had the biggest ownage of the Lions. From 1968 to 1997, Washington beat the Lions 18 straight times. In fact, there was a game in 1990 where Washington ran 110 plays in a game against the Lions, which is the NFL record of all time. They just destroyed this franchise. Not yesterday. A little payback. We had this one. I had this one on guessing lines last week. I couldn't believe that line, that it was below 3. I'll say Minnesota by 6.
Well, you're light. I'm heavy. My power ratings come to 9. Still got to see Minnesota tonight. I think Minnesota is very good. Although, I mean, all the wise guys didn't do so great last week, by the way. But all the wise guy money is definitely on Philly tonight over Minnesota. My numbers come to 9. It's pretty much, it's 7 painted on everywhere. So I'm going to open 7. Like I said, with us doing everything at 11 to 10, I don't want to mess with a 7.5 right now. But I'm going to look for that trending higher. If it does go higher, I am going to go higher. But, you know, we got to see how Minnesota plays tonight.
Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin. We have screens on here, obviously, multiple televisions on here in the studio here at the South Point. And, you know, they're on the national networks. And, of course, they're showing the biggest story that's been in the world here for the last 10 days. Would you like to share with everybody what you said off air about this?
Did something happen to the Queen? I hadn't heard.
I'm sorry. We sent our condolences, of course, to the people of Great Britain. Something happened. Well, I mean, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's really. Kelly and I have a pact. Kelly said that when he passes away, I can wheel him around for 10 days, and he's okay with it.
Weekend at Bernie style, Gil's going to take me into the fanciest places in Las Vegas.
Get him the prosciutto and the melon.
Well,
this kid.
94, 97, whatever. Make all the jokes you want.
Oh, man. Nah, 70 years as queen. Yeah. A good run, as we like to call it.
I would say she's had a pretty good run.
All right, Kelly, what's next?
1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, the Ravens at the Patriots.
The Ravens at the Patriots, 2-1-1 teams now. The Ravens, as we talked about, somehow squander a 21-point lead to the Dolphins in the fourth quarter where it appeared like they had no safeties plan. And I know they were banged up, but good Lord. Lamar, 21 of 29 yesterday in defeat for 318, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. 9 carries for 119 yards and a touchdown. Did he end up as the NFL's leading rusher yesterday? Or no, maybe Montgomery had a
couple more
yards. I'll
have to check. That was the longest play from touchdown from scrimmage, though. I know I saw earlier in the day when he had that 75-yard touchdown.
No, Montgomery had 122, so I think Lamar almost was, but then David Montgomery did his thing. Rashad Bateman, 4 catches for 108 and a touchdown. Man, was he showing his speed. Andrews, of course, the tight end, 9 catches for 104 and a touchdown. As we mentioned, Baltimore was +2 in turnovers. And they only had 1 penalty against the Dolphins for a grand total of 5 yards. Still couldn't win. And don't forget, they started the game with a Devin Duvernay 103-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. 7-0 before you could blink. And I thought to myself, by the way, at that point, because I had Miami, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of these days. By the way, after the opening kickoff, subsequent Ravens drive. They're up 7-0, 4th-and-1 at the Miami 37, 5-12 left. They went for it and converted. That led to a Miami goal line stand, if you recall, after a third down review overturned a Lamar would-be touchdown as part of a nearly 11-minute drive. So Miami did keep it to 7-0 at that point in the game. So you thought, oh, maybe this will be close. It wasn't. Baltimore still went up 21. Again, twice. And then New England, we talked about beating Pittsburgh. Mac Jones, 21 of 35 for 252. One touchdown, one pick. He was not sacked. Harris, 15 for 71 and a touchdown on the ground. Aguilar, 6 for 110 and that amazing touchdown towards the end of the first half. And the law firm of Jacoby Myers, 9 catches for 95 yards. Baltimore at New England. I said Baltimore minus 3.
Well, you're right on. It is 3. Excuse me.
I nailed it.
It is 3. My power ratings come to 2.5. I'm going to open 3 just because, you know, again, they played that little game with us. But if I see this trending lower, I'm going lower. Interesting stat on the Ravens. They have given up more fourth quarter passing yards since the beginning of last season than any team in the NFL. Now, they got a new defensive coordinator this year. Mike McDonald, who was their linebacker coach for a long time. Last year he was defensive coordinator at Michigan. They brought him back. It was like Wink Martindale was their defensive coordinator, no longer there. He went to the Giants. But that's a troubling stat. I mean, you talked about that. They have safeties even playing in this game. So that's not an aberration. Since the beginning of 2021, they've given up more fourth quarter passing yards than anyone in the NFL.
I think three's
a little too high. I really do. Just a shade. Like I said, my power ratings come to 2.5. Kind of cutting pretty close there.
Both of these teams, right? Like, so Baltimore, as we said, not only did it look like they didn't have safeties, it looked like Marcus Peters just stopped playing on the second to last Tyreek touchdown. But Baltimore, like, you know, I had Miami. So when they're down 21, what I was saying in my head was, oh, I can't wait to say on Guessing Lines tomorrow how I'm done underestimating Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because somehow they still managed to get it done. Like, they shouldn't have lost that game yesterday, right? But they managed. And then there's New England, which we talked about earlier. I had Pittsburgh in that game. I felt like Pittsburgh had every opportunity to win it. We talked about the Olszewski muff.
Right.
The fact that they should have had a pick right before that. Yeah.
The unbelievable catch for a touchdown.
Yes. All of that stuff.
So, yeah, I think you could say that. But, you know, Baltimore, I've been saying this in the offseason. They were 8-9, I think, last year.
They were 8-3 at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, and they fell apart.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Jackson missed, I think, 4 games last year. His ratio was not very good. You know, his cube is, I think it was 15 and, like, 13 or something like that, you know, touchdowns, interceptions. There's a lot of flaws on this team, and we just automatically have them penciled in as a serious contender. I'm not sure they are.
How many teams do you feel like you really have your arms wrapped around after 2 weeks?
You know, maybe 2.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Bills right now. I mean, I'm looking at my power ratings. They're a couple points away from everybody else in this league.
I mean, think about it. Like, if I had told you 2 weeks ago, Cincinnati, the Raiders, and the Colts wouldn't have a single win.
Yeah.
You'd been like, come on.
Yeah, and the Rams look terrible. Chargers look good, but now we have to worry about Herbert.
We have to worry about Herbert.
You know, the Bucks. Yeah, I'm sorry. Going into the fourth quarter
a shaky 2-0.
They had one touchdown offensively going into the fourth quarter last night.
Next, Kelly?
Next up, Bengals at the Jets, 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Speaking of the Bengals, Bengals 0-2 at the Jets, who we already talked about. But Bengals in defeat against the Cowboys yesterday, Joe Burrow, 24 of 36, 199, one touchdown, no picks. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the, 50th or however many weeks he's played in football, consecutive week, 6 sacks. 6. It was 7 last week. It was 9 in the playoffs against the Titans, you remember. 7 against the Rams. Was it 7 last week? I can't even remember. It's so many sacks.
Yeah.
Bengals only mustered 254 total yards against Dallas yesterday. But they put together an 8-minute, 54-second drive, plus a 2-point conversion to tie it up, nonetheless, at 17-17. And you thought, okay, Bengals have finally got their act together. And then Dallas had a 4-and-out towards the end of the ballgame. So Cincinnati had the ball with a chance to win in regulation. They go 3-and-out. And then Dallas takes over with 57 seconds left. 1st and 10 at their own 35, 17-17. Cooper Rush completes 3 passes for 30 yards. 3 yards later, it's Brett Maher to win it as the clock goes to 0-0 from 50 on a field goal, by the way, that did not look good live.
It did not.
It did not. I was like, well, that's clearly a miss. Oh, wait, they won? It actually did go in. But I had to take a replay of it three times to make sure. The Jets, as we mentioned, that unbelievable, improbable comeback win against the Browns in the final 2 minutes. Joe Flacco was 26 of 44 yesterday for 307. Four touchdown passes, no picks, sacked twice. Flacco, 126 passing yards and two touchdowns in the final 155 of the game. It's incredible. Garrett Wilson, eight catches for 102 and two touchdowns. The Jets score two touchdowns inside the two-minute warning to win it. By the way, the fourth and two at the Jets 46 when they were down 7-0 early in the game, 1:39 left in the first quarter. They faked a bunt. They converted. That led to the Jets' first touchdown to tie it up. Sauce Gardner got hurt. He left the game with an injury. But again, they outscored the Browns 14-0 in the final 122, and that's all she wrote. The 0-2 Bengals will still be the favorite, I'll say, by 4.5. That's my number.
You're dead on. My power ratings come a little higher, but I think I'm going to make an adjustment because remember I said on this show last week, you got to bet against the Super Bowl loser. And every year we say the same thing. Okay, this year I think it's going to be different. We said that about the Bengals. They're an up-and-coming team. They addressed their offensive line problems, but I don't think they solved their offensive line problems. We'll get to Dallas a little bit later because I think Micah Parsons turned around that game myself.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He was unbelievable. But anyway, my power rating is up to 5.5. I like 4.5 better. So I'm going to probably make an adjustment to my power ratings. But that's what I'm going to open 4.5. I see 1.5 out there, but I think 4.5 is plenty.
So far, my worst line guess is Pittsburgh-Cleveland. I had Cleveland way lower than the actual number. I had 1.5. It was 3.5. Don't be surprised to see these wacky early weeks in the NFL continue in future weeks. And in future weeks, and I should say future years early in the season.
Boy, that's bookmakers would hate that.
Yeah, future years early in the season. Be careful with your betting. The switch to 3 preseason games clearly seems to be affecting teams in a league that's already tough to handicap. Besides the wackiness of changing it from 4 to 3 in the preseason, that's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Full hour still to come. Guessing Lines, Week 3, National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, the star of Guessing Lines, and Kelly Bidlin. Can we run that intro music again? And it goes a little something like this. Very dramatic. Can you hear it?
I can hear it a little bit.
Oh, man, you got to put it. Who do we give credit to for that intro?
Oh, man, a lot of people involved. Rob Moreno, myself. I don't even know who designed the original graphic.
Kelly's like, oh, a lot of people, Gil. A lot of people.
I chose the music last week. Okay?
There you go. I like that. Now,
Rob edits it all together. He does all the fancy animations. I don't even know who was responsible for the original graphic. That's what I feel deserves the most credit. Goes back years at this point.
We get tweets and we get texts from the Christopher Felica. Are you familiar with this guy, Chris? Chris Felica, who is the bear at ESPN's College Game Day.
I don't think I've heard of him.
Stanford Steve of the Bear podcast and Daily Wager. He texts us both with a little attitude, I may say. He said, if you had under 10:45 Eastern in the, quote, time Gil will talk about the 91 Redskins pool, cash your tickets. By the way, incorrect. It was the 90 Skins. I should just have you know.
That's great.
You're wrong.
There are show side bets always allowed. Just text me. Anybody's allowed. tweet at me.
When's Gil going to say Plinko?
The wrong call when he picked the S. Yeah. Did I say Swarthmore was Skidmore?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
That's right. He guessed Skidmore. Yeah, it was actually, you said Swarthmore.
There's two of those. I can't believe there's.
I just want to say this again. It's all Plinko. Like the NFL ATS pre-flop. Like I was talking to Kelly before the show about this, and I said it on air again, which is, it feels like for me in 2 weeks, every possible break has gone my way. And I don't say that to say, hey, look at me. I say that to say, when all those years when they were going against me, I wasn't dumb, and now I'm not particularly smart. It's the NFL. And so I have unbelievable respect for anybody who beats the NFL on a consistent basis year to year, the Las Vegas Chris's of the world.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Our guy on Twitter, Cleve TA, who does such a great job of doing very well. Give him a shout. So good at beating this on a year-to-year basis.
Jack,
your Uncle Jack. It's incredible. I don't know how you do it.
A lot of people say, well, do you have to learn something from your Uncle Jack? Yeah, I did. I still can't pick NFL games the way he did. I just can't.
But this couldn't have gone better. And if the Vikings can get home, oh, my goodness, what a start to millions.
I mean, that Cardinals-Raiders game is the perfect example,
yes,
right? Like, you and I were heads-up-ish on that game, and it's like, you can't walk away being like, when neither one of us being like, oh, man, I was so wrong, or you're an idiot.
Could you imagine? I was like, Kelly, you had the handicap wrong, buddy. I'm just that much smarter than you are.
It's like, you can't take anything like that away from that game.
I'm great and you suck. It's all there is to it. So clear.
I still think Kyler Murray isn't that good.
I was channeling your voice the whole time.
I still think
that, Chris. And then I also think, what do we expect them to do every time it's 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, or it's a 2-point conversion? It's Kyler run around for 2 minutes and then do your thing.
Would you say 84.2 yards or some exact number?
The 21 second. I'll give you the exact numbers.
Best play they have. It's the best play they have.
It was a 21. I'm going to get this exactly right. Hold on. So nearly 21 seconds, just shy of 21 seconds. And he ran around for, why can't I find it now?
It's currently the best play call in the Cardinals playbook and the Bears playbook.
84.8 yards.
84.
By the way, I tried to track it to see if it was 84.8 yards. That felt high to me. But still, you get the point.
I thought
you were tracking it.
Oh, no, like, because after I knew the number, I was like, let me see if this is really 84.8 yards.
I saw that tweet.
Tracking it with my eyes.
I was going to say, you have a tracking device that you can employ?
You know, the 91 Skins had a play.
I saw that tweet, too, last night, Gil. Then I saw the replay again. I'm like, I don't know about this.
I don't know about 84.8.
Oh, man. All right, you ready for the next
game? Yes, sir.
1 o'clock Eastern time, Eagles at the Commanders.
Eagles are playing who again?
Commanders.
I haven't heard of them. Eagles play tonight again. Short favorites against the Vikings. Game two of the doubleheader. Let's go Vikings. Get it done. Washington, 1-1. They probably shouldn't have beat Jacksonville the first week of the season. And they started so slow, as we mentioned, against the Lions yesterday. Literally had no first downs before the five-minute mark of just over 5 minutes left in the second quarter yesterday. That they dug themselves such a big hole they couldn't get out of against Detroit. And if you remember on guessing lines, that's the beauty of guessing lines is the first instincts, man, when they're good, they're good. So far through 2 weeks, very good. I was like, this should be at least 3 points. And it was one by the end. Was it close to a pick'em at the end, this game?
Yeah.
I know it got down to one.
Yeah.
But Carson Wentz, again, good and bad, right? Carson Wentz, 30 for 46 for 337. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 5 times. He didn't have a lot of time. Curtis Samuel, again, welcome. 7 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown, 1 carry for 21. The incomparable Terry McLaurin, 4 for 75. And then, Kelly, my best offseason ticket right now is looking like Jahan Dotson. I got Jahan Dotson for Rookie of the Year at 40-1.
Kid's good.
4 catches for 59 and another touchdown for the kid.
Penn State. Yeah.
Philadelphia is going to be like a 3.5-point favorite. It'll be more than 3.
It's 4. My power ratings come to 5. I got to tell you, if you look at just the stats in the game, Washington's are fairly impressive. It was all garbage time stats.
Kind of.
I mean, it really was.
Just when you thought they were going to get close, it happened a couple times. Detroit would score.
Yeah, and I tweeted out before. I'll say it here on the air. You got to follow Jeff Fogel on Twitter, because if you don't have time to just pour through all these box scores, Jeff will do it in one or two tweets with commentary along with it. And he's very thorough. He's really a smart guy. And he pointed out that when they did score their touchdowns, when they made all that noise, they were down by double digits the whole time that they were doing that. It's easy to do that in the NFL. You see how many games wind up close to that field goal. So my power ratings come to 5. I am going to open at 4. That is what the number is pretty much everywhere. Just sight unseen tonight as far as Philadelphia. But I kind of favor the higher number there. I think, and by the way, if you have Carson Wentz in fantasy, you're probably doing great.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what that means as far as winning football games.
He is so, again, like with so many things in the NFL, such a conundrum, right? Because he'll make some throws where you're like, wow,
yeah.
Taylor Heinicke couldn't have done that.
Yeah. Right.
And then his ball protection is so poor. You're like, oh, no, please don't hit him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like the higher number, but I'm going to open 4. Like I said, we haven't seen Philly tonight, so I'm going to just kind of stay conservative.
By the way, the last 3 or 4 games, I've been on a spectacular guessing run here. Next, Kelly.
Next up, Jameis Winston and the Saints visit the Carolina Panthers, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, Carolina. Well, let's start with the Saints. Saints fall to 1-1. Remember, they had the comeback win against the Falcons week 1. And then yesterday was this 3-3 game deep into the second half. Nobody was scoring in this game. And then New Orleans kind of fell apart. There was a brawl where Mike Evans just trucked Marshawn Lattimore. Tom Brady was ornery. Threw a Microsoft, what do you call those things? Microsoft Surface. Surface,
yes.
Thank you. Spiked that to the ground. He apologized.
Well, it was loud. It was Lattimore talking smack to the sideline. Looked like Brady came over a little bit to give him crap for talking crap to the sideline.
Well, Brady wanted a flag on that pass to Scotty Miller, and then Marshawn had something to say there.
Right, and then Fournette right away protected his quarterback. And then Mike Evans was clearly just waiting for it to blow up.
And Evans and Lattimore got ejected from the game. Jameis, well, we're not talking about the Bucs yet. Jameis in defeat. 25 of 40 for 236, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. He was sacked 6 times. Olave, 5 for 80. Michael Thomas, 6 for 65 and a touchdown. But this is all you need to know. The Saints were -4 in turnovers. They had 5 of them to the Bucs 1. And they had 9 penalties for 60 yards. That Bucs defense is good. Saints lose it 20-10. And then there's Carolina. Carolina falls to 0-2. Is Matt Rhule the leader in the clubhouse for first coach fire?
He would be my leader.
Let me tell you something. Halfway through that Raiders game, it was Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, except for the fact that he's in his second game. I would say the guy from Denver. What's his name? Hackett?
Oh, Hackett, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But Carolina loses to the Giants yesterday, 19-16. Mayfield, 14 of 29 for 145. 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked twice. I used to do a podcast with the Brits over there. Dave Kellner was this guy. And he used to say things like, Gil, Tony Romo's performance was, how can I put this, lamentable. And that's how I feel about Baker Mayfield. It's like, lamentable. I was like, yes, it was lamentable, exactly. Christian McCaffrey.
How did we beat them in the war 250 years ago?
Lamentable, wouldn't you say? 15 carries for 102 for McCaffrey. But Carolina was -2 in turnovers. They had 2. The Giants had none. They fumbled the opening kickoff that led to a Giants field goal. Then the subsequent drive, Robbie Anderson fumbled, that led to the Giants leading 6-0. So all of that helped. The Panthers under Matt Rhule, we'll leave it at this. Do you know what their record is when they've allowed 17-plus points? 17-plus. Not talking about 24 or 30. 17-plus points under Matt Rhule when they've allowed 17-plus. 1-25 straight
Whoa.
Up. Is that not the most horrible stat?
That is unbelievably horrible.
17.
just never had an offense. Like, I mean, I get it. It Rule has been terrible, but just no weapons there.
No weapons. I just said New Orleans minus three just as a sort of lazy, I don't know what else to put it, because Carolina can't be favored.
Oh, no, no. You're right on. I mean, it's three. I'm going to open three. My parlays actually come to 2.5. All offseason I was saying I don't know this love for the Saints. I mean, I had a lot – again, another team. I have a lot of Super Bowl money on them, a lot of money to win the division. You had a new coach, you know, a quarterback who's really not played for a while, and even now, you know, tends to keep both teams in the game at the same time. Jeff Fogel, who I just mentioned, had a great line. He said, there's rumors of Winston having broken ribs and rumors of Brady having a broken marriage. His analysis again. I thought that was hilarious.
Jameis does have four cracks in his back, yeah. But not can't get worse, they say.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to open three, but if I see it trending lower, I'd probably go a little lower.
Afternoon games, primetime games, guessing lines coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Tip of the strip, Skill Alexander, guessing lines with Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. Who, you say you want to make a Twitter comment?
A very quick Twitter comment. Please. People ask me questions, and I do my best to answer every one of them. I don't. I'm far from perfect. But here's my one rule. If you're going to ask me a question, you have to at least be following me for me to answer you. I got guys ask me questions, they don't even follow me. You know, no, you got to, even if you're it's a con job, you're going to follow me for 30 seconds, so I answer you, then you unfollow me. Knock yourself out. They have to at least be following me. It's like for me to answer your question.
It's like Todd Wright used to answer like hundreds of emails from our listeners when he would do appearances for fantasy football. And then he was like, tell you what, I'm going to put a little code in the middle of my podcast. You have to use the code for me to answer it. And he was like, let me see.
Yeah, that'll
see
how many cut it way come. Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got guys saying, you know, and then I look, they don't even follow me. Why am I answering this guy?
There it is. A Twitter comment from Chrissy.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
No,
I don't
think
sorry,
so either.
I just don't.
Are we at the afternoon yet, Eric Kelly?
We are, finally. Only four in the afternoon next week.
Oh, one of those weekends.
Yeah. 4:05 Eastern time. Get things started with the Jaguars at the Chargers.
2-1-1 teams. Obviously got their very different ways. Jacksonville with its eighth straight win versus Indy at Jacksonville. Can you believe that?
Just an insane. That's an insane trend stat, whatever.
The Colts have a lot of insane trends, right? They hadn't won an opening game since 2013.
Yeah.
Can't win at Jacksonville to save their lives. Trevor Lawrence, as we talked about, in victory, 24-0. Again, maybe you thought the Colts wouldn't cover. Maybe you thought the Colts wouldn't win. But you think they're going to lose 24-0? Trevor Lawrence, 25 of 30 for 235, two touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. Christian Kirk and his $10 million a year, 6 for 78 and two touchdowns. The Jaguars were plus 3 in turnovers, as we mentioned. And as we also mentioned, they had a time of possession margin, 38-15 to 21-45 against the Colts. And Jacksonville was going for it, man. Doug Peterson doing his thing, 4th and 3 at the Indy 47, 8:05 left in the first quarter in a scoreless game. Went for it, converted, led to a Jacksonville touchdown and a 7-0 lead. Then 4th and 1 at the Indy 5, the 5-yard line, up 17-0. He eschews, just wanted to use that word, the field goal. 22 seconds left in the third quarter. Touchdown pass, Trevor to Kirk. That made it 24-0, the eventual final score. And then the Chargers, they'll be on extra rest. Remember, they lost to the Chiefs last Thursday night. Herbert, 33 of 48 in victory for 334, three touchdowns, one pick, sacked twice. Williams, Mike Williams, 8 catches for 113 and a touchdown. Austin Eckler, 14 for 39 on the ground, 9 for 55 in terms of his receiving. Chargers won the total yards battle, 401 to 319. Herbert's good to go here, Kelly. Is that the latest?
It appears as if he is, but, I mean, he's officially listed as questionable. They haven't practiced or anything yet this week, so I'd be careful, you know, laying whatever it is you're going to, you know, we haven't gotten that a number yet. Be careful with that.
But, assuming he plays.
Assuming he plays right now, and everybody has the number up.
I'd say 6 if he's playing.
Okay, it's 7 pretty much everywhere. My numbers come to 6.5. I got to tell you, I was pretty impressed with the Jaguars. I mentioned the stat about the protection that they gave Lawrence. And if you give any competent quarterback in this league that kind of protection, they're going to pick you apart. Now, I don't know if they could do that against that Chargers defensive line. You know, the Colts offensive line was horrible. But I got to tell you, that was the one really bad game of the day yesterday was the Colts and the Jaguars. Everybody was on the Jaguars. Couldn't get Colts money for anything.
Hmm.
I think this team is pretty good. And, you know, they got Peterson now, the coach. He's a pretty good coach. You know, I know he had some problems at the end in Philly, but that's a pretty good team. Yeah, I'm going to open 7. I don't want to mess with that too much, but I kind of like 6.5 a little better. I think 7 to me, we talked about this last week. What's your next number? What's your next number? If you open the game 7, you going to 7.5? I don't think so. I think there's a better chance you go to 6.5 than you go to 7.5. So
that was
7's a good number, but I 6.5 is better than 7.5.
That was interesting when you talk about that last week, because I'd never heard you put it that way before.
Yeah, like I said, I was fortunate. I was a teenager and having lunch and dinner with Bob Martin. I mean, who gets to do that? It's like, you know, like a physicist sitting down with Stephen Hawking. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just an incredible education I got.
I think it's a good point on this game, though, too, because this was the one side I actually bet yesterday on the openers. Took a speculative small bet of Jaguars plus 7 and thinking it's probably it would probably move 6.5 if we get better Herbert news,
right,
or everybody's going to jump on a 7.5 if that pops before then. So, it was just a little small bet on me for Jaguars plus 7 yesterday.
Another one of those teams, Jaguars. Like, do we think we know what they are? I don't know.
No, but there's a lot of good things right now with that team that look tangible, not just luck.
You imagine this time last year. The whole Urban Meyer thing. What a disaster.
Yeah, Nebraska's clamoring to hire him. He might work in Nebraska. Who knows?
Next.
They might pick their pocket like Les Miles did to Kansas. I don't know.
How about those Jayhawks, by the way?
Packers at the Bucks.
Well, the Packers got me through. One of my two survivors that got me through yesterday.
Let's go. Survivor, I hit it too. Kev.
Hit it.
I'm a survivor.
Kev must be reading emails or something. Packers, as you said, what was this? Packers at the Bucks, you said?
Yeah.
Packers got it done, as we said, last night against the Bears. Just absolutely. I mean, it did. At one point, again, the Bears had a chance to cut it to one score, but they went shotgun from the doorstep, and Justin Fields did not get in. But the Packers win it 27-10. They get to 1-1. Rodgers, 19 for 25 in victory, 234. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Aaron Jones, 15 carries for 132 and a touchdown, 3 catches for 38 and a touchdown. And Sammy Watkins, 3 for 93. They out time of possessioned Chicago, if you will, 37-15 to 22-45. And then there's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is 2-0. What a light feeling 2-0 it is after they crushed Dallas the first Sunday night of the year, 19-3, where Dallas just looked absolutely awful with Dak getting hurt. And then yesterday, floundering until late before the defense bailed him out and they beat the Saints. Brady, 18 of 34 for 190. 1 touchdown, was not picked. Sacked once. 13 first downs. That's all Tampa Bay had yesterday. And they only had 260 total yards. But they were plus 4 in turnovers. 5 turnovers by the Saints themselves. 8 penalties for the Bucs for 101. They were down 3-0. It was a 4th-and-inches at the New Orleans 8 with 12:17 left in the second quarter. They went for it and failed. They just have all kinds of trouble with the Saints, but they got it done. A pair of Jamel Dean picks in the fourth quarter really helped the cause for the Bucs. They win it 20-10. So they're 2-0. The Packers are 1-1. I would imagine the Bucs would have to be favored by a little more than a field goal. I said Bucs by 4.
Whoa. It's a solid 3. My numbers come to 2. There's things are not completely right with this Bucs team.
They're not.
And I tweeted out yesterday, through 7 quarters, Brady had engineered 1 offensive touchdown. They got a little lucky at the end. I mean, those 20 points, I'm not sure how much Brady had to do with it. Our friend Brian Grayson, who's a friend of the show, after I tweeted that, He tweeted at me. He said, this could be like Peyton Manning's last year where the defense carries him and Brady does what he has to do and they could still win the Super Bowl. And I had to agree with him because their defense, I think, is terrific. One of the best in the league. But boy, like I said last segment when I talked about Jeff Fogle, said Brady may have a broken marriage. Don't tell me that doesn't mess up your plan.
Oh,
I mean,
by the way, you hear he's taking all Wednesdays off.
Yeah,
this
taking
year?
All Wednesdays off. Yeah. He had the mysterious 11-day absence. There's something that ain't right. And I'll go back again. Let's see I'll see what Felica says about me mentioning the 70 Steelers. The one they won 2 straight Super Bowls in their first 2 Super Bowls. Terry Bradshaw went through a divorce. He was with JoJo Starbuck at the time.
How's that Starbuck? Was she an ice skater or
something? She was an ice skater, yeah. He was going through a divorce at that time. And they I don't think they missed the playoffs, but they had a horrible year. They had a horrible year coming off two straight Super Bowl wins. And later on we found out, okay, he was going through that divorce. And I think that really messed up the whole team. I don't know what's going on with Brady. He obviously is not telling people like me and you.
Yeah.
But something is not right. First of all, he looks skinny. I don't know where he lost.
Does. He looks gaunt.
He looks gaunt. That's a beautiful word that I would beat me to the punch on that. He looks gaunt. Something ain't right there. And I don't know if Rodgers got healthy and connected with all his receivers all of a sudden. But I think three to me is – I think it's too high. I'm going to open three because that's what it is, like a blanket. But I like the Packers in this game.
See, I'm going the other way because this – and this gets back to what we're saying – If your preseason convictions on things were correct, chances are you've done pretty well the first couple weeks of the season, and obviously the opposite would be the case as well. But Kelly and I, we've said it. I think Parlay and I may have said it too. Like I just don't think the Packers are going to be that great this year, and so for me, I will still take that Buccaneers defense at home against the Packers. And what's the number? Three.
Three.
Yeah, I think I'm taking the Bucs here.
I might end up betting that as well. I bet the under last night on this game. 47.5 a shop hung out here.
It was 47.5?
Yeah.
44 now.
Yeah.
So I got through with the Packers, one of the two teams I got through with yesterday in Survivor. Remember, first week of Circa Survivor, 3,450 out of 6,133 entries, 56.25% knocked out. Yesterday, out of the remaining 2,683, 673 more knocked out, 25.1%. Most of those, Browns and Bengals. Wow, we are down to 2010. Coming into tonight, more to come. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guests, 24/7 video, season prep, including our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits and pro tips, updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game, rather. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you go for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Anders, Kelly Bidlin, guessing lines for week 3 in the National Football League. I think I like Tampa Bay best of the bunch.
We are going to agree to disagree.
Yeah, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh so far standing out for me. All right, we have a couple more afternoon games here.
That we do. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. Falcons at the Seahawks. Buy your tickets now.
You are not required to watch this professional football game. The 0-2 Falcons, the 1-1 Seahawks. The Falcons made it very interesting against the Rams yesterday. They had a shot at winning this and breaking more Survivor players' hearts. Marcus Mariota. Hawaiian pronunciation. 17 of 26 for 196. Two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked three times. Drake London, 8 for 86 and a touchdown, also a two-point conversion. He looked good. Falcons had a 4th-and-1 at the Rams 13 with 5:30 left in the second quarter when they were down 14-0. They went for it, converted on a play where Mariota slipped, got up, completed a pass, still ended up kicking the field goal to make it 14-3. But you're like, all right, Marcus, let's do this. Only 261 total yards for the Falcons. But in the fourth quarter, the Falcons outscored the Rams 17-3 and had the ball with a chance to win this. And by the way, we'll get to more of the sequence of this when we get to the Rams. But do we have to have the discussion about when you're down 8 and you go for 2 and you knock it down to 6? Because the Falcons did this yesterday. They were down 31-17. They scored on a block punt, and they went for 2, and they got it to Drake London to make it 31-25. And so, again, for those who are like, why are teams doing this? The math bears it out. I don't know how else to say it. There's a couple ways to look at it because it's counterintuitive to our football brains for all the years we've watched football. But there's a couple ways to look at it. One, the difference between the difference between 8 points and 7 points, the difference between being down 8 points and 7 points is less than the difference between being down between 7 and 6 points. And the other way to look at it is the expected point of a extra point and a 2-point conversion are roughly the same. So given that, there is no downside to doing that. You have a chance to win.
The expected points.
Yeah, so
between
your
1 and 2.
Your percentage of conversion of the 1 point, your percentage of conversion of the 2 point.
Yeah.
So again, the difference between being down 7 points and being down 6 points greater than the difference between being down 7 and 8. And so that is why you go for it there.
Yeah, Rufus Peabody, another friend of the show, he explains it pretty well. And I think Captain Jack Andrews has another little piece on it too. You know, smart guys.
Yes.
And they go through it because it is counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first presented with it, I thought, well, I think you're nuts. And then you go through the math and say, oh, wait a second. You have a pretty good point here.
Here's what I would say. Because there's the book, the math also tells you, by the way, when you're down 4, to go for 2 then. That one is much more difficult to wrap your brain around.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That one's much more, because that one, the thing about that one is, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But you're going from being down, you know,
you still need 2 scores
to
win.
A touchdown. That one's more difficult.
Yeah.
This one's a little less difficult to understand. Anyway, and Seattle yesterday loses to the Niners, which we'll get to, the Niners and the Trey Lance injury. Geno Smith in defeat, 24 of 30 for 197, 0 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Tyler Lockett, 9 catches for 107. The Seahawks only had 14 first downs. My goodness, how many bad offensive performances have we highlighted here? 14 first downs, 216 total yards. Only 36 rushing for the Pete Carroll, I'm trying to run down your throat offense. Only 36 rushing yards. Seahawks were -3 in turnovers. They had 3. The Niners had none. They had 10 penalties for 106. And they were out time of possessioned against the Niners, 38-20 to 21-40. By the way, this note from Brady Henderson about Geno Smith, this is random. According to Elias via ESPN Stats and Info, Geno Smith's 80% completion rate, remember he was 24 of 30, is the highest minimum of 30 pass attempts in a game in which a quarterback's team didn't score a single offensive point since stats were first tracked for individual players in 1932. Random.
Now we're going to Big Daddy Lipscomb time.
Yes, we are. What's it, Atlanta at Seattle? Was that the game? What a terrible game. I don't know. Yeah. Seattle by 3, I said.
It's 2 everywhere. My power ratings come to 2. And, quick note on Geno Smith. His QBR, where am I at? It was 51.6, which I was surprised was that high.
Yeah.
But, he did, he played well despite not getting into the end zone. He's not terrible. He's not great, but he's not terrible.
He's not terrible.
It's
a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
So what's your number? What's your number?
My power range came to 2. It's 2 pretty much everywhere. So I think 2 is fine for an opening number.
Yeah, a little respect for the Falcons, I guess. Next, Kelly, final afternoon game.
Final afternoon game is the Rams at the Cardinals.
Rams at the Cardinals. Okay, so we talked a little bit about both of these, but the Rams do squeak by the Falcons in the end, 31-27. Matthew Stafford, 27 of 36 for 272, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked once. Cooper Kupp, 11 for 108, 2 touchdowns. He did lose a fumble, a huge fumble that gave the Falcons the ball back and a chance to win. Both teams in this game, the Rams and the Falcons, had 3 turnovers, by the way. Rams led 31-10 in the fourth quarter. They led by 21 in the fourth quarter. Imagine if this had gone by the wayside as well. They gave up a touchdown to make it 31-17. And again, as I said, the ensuing drive, Rams punter Riley Dixon had his punt blocked and returned for a touchdown by Lorenzo Carter. And then the 2-point conversion to cut it from 8-6, as we just discussed, 31-25. Then it was the ensuing drive where Kupp had the fumble, and Atlanta took over at the Rams 37 with 3:22 left, but on 3rd and 13 at the Rams 24 with 1:18 left, Mariota intercepted by Jalen Ramsey. By the way, Atlanta had a chance for a Hail Mary attempt at the end of regulation, but Mariota couldn't even get it off, sacked by Justin Hollins. And then there's Arizona. What have we not said about them? Kyler Murray's final stats, 31 of 49 in the win. The amazing come-from-behind win against the Raiders. 31 of 49 for 277, one touchdown, one pick, sack once. Five carries for 28 yards and a touchdown. The amazing 21-second, 84.8-yard, two-point conversion. Multiple fourth-down conversions from Kyler. Arizona, 12 penalties for 120 yards.
What did you say about Kingsbury?
Mm-hmm. Unprepared. Arizona has allowed, by the way, points on 38 consecutive drives inside the red zone when they're on defense. So here's just the first half versus the second half in overtime. Arizona in points, minus 20 points in the first half, plus 26 second half in overtime. Five first downs in the first half, 23 first downs second half in overtime. 86 total yards first half, 327 second half in overtime.
Jeez.
And then yards allowed, 258 in the first half, 66 is all they allowed in second half in overtime. Rams will be favored. It'll be more than three. I'll say Rams minus 3.5 on the road.
It's four, a blanket four. My power ratings come to four. There's some flaws on both these teams. And I was checking out, I do a preseason ranking, you know, power rating. I've lowered the Rams 1.5 points from my preseason ranking. Feels like I maybe should have lowered them more than that. I've lowered the Cardinals 4 points from my preseason ranking. I still think Kyler Murray is not that good. I do not like Kingsbury. And I've been saying that from day one, and I'm not changing. I mean, it was a miracle that they won yesterday, and a bigger miracle that they even won by six.
Yes.
Yeah, so that score could be very, very deceiving. So, I mean, my power ratings come to four. That's what it is. That's what I'm going to open. But, boy, this is a tough game. Both these teams are pretty flawed.
By the way, just thinking about Survivor, who the heck am I picking next week? Oh, we'll worry about that another day.
Yeah, we got to worry about those Thanksgiving and Christmas. And They made it tough this year.
Oh, it's the Christmas.
We haven't even got to the tough part yet.
Well, what's amazing, again, the first year of Survivor 2 years ago was Circa. It was 1,300-plus entries.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks, and we've almost gotten there from 6,133.
Yeah.
We're at 2,010. Whew. Man, oh, man. But there's nothing better than Survivor. Yeah, but just looking at this at a glance, I have no idea right now. Well, Kelly and I have all week to talk about Survivor, talk about our favorite teasers. Kelly, what are you in Circa Millions? How'd you do?
1-3 with Vikings pending tonight. A lot of those, I was on the opposite side. A lot of those swings at the end of the games yesterday.
And I was on the right side of all of them. And by right side, I mean completely butt lucky. But that's the NFL. You think I'm apologizing? Hails no. Minnesota gets it done. It's a pair of 4-1s for me in Circa Millions.
Whoa.
Yeah. Not that that's going to get me a quarter win. You can win a contest going 4-1, but you can't win a quarter going 4-1. That's the interesting part about that. Coming back, primetime games next on Guessing Lines, Numbers Game. Again, Monday night doubleheader tonight. And Kelly points this out. We might complain here in the Pacific time zone, hey, I wish the games, you know, we could watch one full game and then start the second one. But for the East Coasters, this is a good deal that they overlap by a half, yes?
Yeah, I would think so. 7:15 and 8:30 Eastern time starts for those two. Yeah, I know last year we got the 7 o'clock Pacific time one for us. I think it was last year or the year before. That was nice, but yeah, I think 10 o'clock Eastern time, it's a little late for an NFL game to be starting.
All three of us have grown up on the East Coast, so we know it very well. Best part about living in the Pacific time zone? Sports times.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. Lack of humidity comes
I was gonna say,
pretty close.
Lack of mosquitoes ranks
mosquitoes,
up there.
Mosquitoes, yes. Number two, yes.
That would be my DC perspective on things. All right, Sunday night football, what do we got?
49ers at the Broncos.
Well, good thing they didn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, when Las Vegas Chris, Matt Brown, and I, Matt Brown, co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni here on the network, when the three of us did the NFL preview Megapod back in August, I said out loud, I was like, why at this point aren't they just keeping him? Like, what do they think? That this is this is a Super Bowl-ready team, and Matt and Chris agreed, co-signed wholeheartedly.
I would have too, absolutely.
Keep him. And so now, Trey Lance, who was 2 of 3 for 30 yards, He suffers a season-ending broken right angle, broken right ankle. Pardon me.
You're thinking about right angle. I don't blame
them. They're pick of Wyoming.
Giving you that outright winner that on a 17-point dog.
Yeah, it's not a broken right angle. Broken right ankle on a play with 2:33 left in the first quarter. Poor kid. Just awful to see.
I mean, it's going to be like 3 years before he's actually played a football game. Or he's had like, you know, two.
Tim Hasselbeck said, you know, in the last 1,000 days, do you know how many starts he's played in football?
Two.
I'm talking about college and pro. Yeah. 1,000 days, six.
Six, okay.
And Tim Hasselbeck said, you can't get better at anything not doing it.
So the Malcolm Gladwell theory, you have to have 10,000 hours. That's this guy's right. got, you know, what, the, you know, 3 hours.
The Beatles in Hamburg.
Yeah.
10,000 hours. So Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, and remember the stat. Starting quarterbacks under Shanahan in San Francisco, 31-14 with Garoppolo, 9-29 with everyone else. Garoppolo ends up 13 of 21 for 154, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Debo, 4 for 53 on the ground, 5 catches for 44 yards. They held Seattle to 216 total yards, 36 rushing, as we mentioned, and they were plus 3 in turnovers and had the time of possession lead 38-20 to 21-40. Total domination. Only one penalty for the Niners the whole game, 26 yards. I'm guessing that was a PI. They're at Denver. Another one of my survivors. Another one of my survivors. Oh, Kev, someone help him in the corner. That's happening.
I think he is answering emails right now.
Kev's like, I got things to do, Gil. Denver beats Houston 16-9. Good God, is Denver bad? Wilson, 14 for 31 for 219, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked 3 times. But at the 2-minute warning of the first half, do you know what his numbers were? 4 of 15 for 48. Almost halfway through the game. Cortland Sutton ends up with 7 catches for 122. Denver had 13 penalties for 100 yards. This a week after they had 12 penalties for 106 yards in that debacle versus Seattle. That's 25 penalties for 206 yards in 2 weeks. That's how poorly prepared this team is. Under Nathaniel Hackett, 25 penalties for 206 yards, and so many of them are delay penalties. It got so bad, and I've never seen this in my entire life of watching football. The Denver home crowd was chanting the countdown of the play clock. Have you ever seen that before in your life? At a football game, it was like a free throw thing.
It's been bizarre these first 2 weeks. I mean, they've had problems with it. It's crazy. And this guy, he sounds like a doofus too when he gets on the mic post.
He's out of breath. He's out of breath. Yeah.
He just doesn't seem prepared at all to talk about the decisions he's made the whole game.
He's walking around the sideline. He's got that little chart that he's writing down. I'm thinking, I think Parlay said he's 2 weeks into the season, he's the worst coach in the NFL.
Yeah. Kelly said doofus.
I agree with Parles. I think he's the worst coach in the NFL. I don't even know. It's 2 weeks in.
He has to be. By the way, the Broncos lost both Jerry Jeudy and Patrick Surtain, their 2 first-round draft picks in previous years here, to shoulder injuries in the first half. They never returned. But just to give you know, Denver, and this sequence says it all. Well, first of all, Denver 4th-and-2 at the 50. They're down 9-6. 6:35 left in the third quarter. They went for it. They converted Wilson to Sutton for 6 yards. Okay. But then 3 plays later, it's 3rd-and-1 at the Houston 40, at the Houston 35. They're down 9-6. 3rd-and-1 at the Houston 35. They're down 9-6. And they call a tight end option.
Yeah.
Andrew Beck in a very poorly spaced tight end option where the running back was not nearly far enough away from him. They lose a yard. Then instead of going for it on 4th again like they had just done at midfield, they decide to go for the game-tying field goal, but they get called for delay and have to punt. That sequence sums up the first 2 weeks of Nathaniel Hackett right there. Somehow they cobbled together a victory, but their fans are chanting down the play clock. San Francisco -3 on the road. By the way, I bet San Francisco, once the Niners decided to keep him this offseason, I bet them to win the NFC and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll say Niners -3.
It's funny. You lose your starting quarterback, and I haven't updated my futures. That's going to be the next thing I do after I'm going to lower the Niners. Yeah, because they got a better chance.
Yeah.
Boy, I, you know, my numbers come to San Francisco, a half a point favorite.
Ooh.
So pick them, essentially. It's pick them everywhere.
Really?
But I'm looking at this game.
Are
there
you
is
kidding
no
me?
Chance I could bet Denver in
Give
this game.
Give me the Niners,
if
baby.
If this comes down to any kind of a coaching matchup,
oh,
forget about it. This would be this is off the charts.
This is a pick 'em?
This is a pick 'em game everywhere. I even see them favored in one spot, I would say. One spot.
Yeah, I believe there was a shop or two here in town that opened up Denver 1 yesterday.
Yeah, I still see a 1 hanging out there. Man, I mean,
wow.
Like I said, my numbers, and I always say, it just gives you a place to start, power ratings. But I'm looking, power ratings, I have them a half a point favorite. We'll just pick them. There's no chance I could bet Denver in this game. Zero chance I could bet Denver.
You know, Russell Wilson got his hand got jammed. Remember the hammer finger last year? We thought, oh, well, yeah. he's tough coming back from the injury. He may not be good anymore.
I was just going to say that. Remember, I've always said how feared I was of this guy for years and years and years. I think he is taking a step downhill. He is not the same quarterback. And they just gave him, like, what, 200-some million to sign here. I think they were waiting for that ownership to go through. He is not as good as he was.
Some of us might have bet him for MVP. Kelly?
Yeah, we might have.
Monday night?
Monday night football. NFC East battle. Cowboys at the Giants.
Ugh. Dallas 1-1. Cooper Rush 19 of 31 yesterday, 235. One touchdown, no picks, sack once, and the Cowboys win over the Bengals. Noah Brown 5 for 91 and a touchdown. Cowboys had a 4th-and-2 at their own 44, 12:29 left in the first quarter. Rush to Brown for 17. 6 plays later, rush to Brown, 9-yard touchdown pass. That put the Cowboys up 7-0. They were on their way. Giants, they're 2-0, and they could be 4-0 or 6-2 based on the schedule. Giants beat the Panthers. Daniel Jones, 22 of 34 for 176. One touchdown, no picks, sacked 3 times. Saquon, 21 for 72. Giants only had 265 total yards in victory. They gave up only 275, but again, they were plus 2 in turnovers. I mean, a pick 'em, I guess. It's at New York, right? I'll say pick 'em.
It's at New York. I made the Giants 2. It's pretty much 3 everywhere. And by the way, you got to amend my. I'm going to open the Niners a 1-point favorite. I'm not going with the pick 'em.
Gotcha.
Anyway, this is from Aaron Schatz. Just a preview of the Giants, probably after beating the Cooper Rush Cowboys. Here's a list of the worst 3-0 teams by DVOA. Okay, he listened down. And the Giants are among, now they're not 3-0 yet.
Yeah.
You know, but if, I mean, they're favored this week. They'd be one of the worst, according to the DVOA. So I think they've been pretty lucky. Anyway, it is 3 everywhere. I'm going to open 3 because that's, you know, I don't want to mess with that. But if I see it going lower, I'm definitely going to go.
I think the Niners and the Bucks are my favorite two plays of the week based on this exercise.
Oh, by the way, I see a 2.5. I'm going to open 2.5.
Make sure to monitor practice reports for banged up quarterbacks this week. For example, that Chargers line will go wildly changing based on Justin Herbert news. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every single day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Appreciate it. Lombardi Line next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.